It's the first person of color who is not a minion or a servant to somebody else.
Yeah.
Which really says a lot.
It is the CW, the Pretty White People Network, as it was known back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Upper East Siders and all you scandal-loving listeners out there, you just tuned into the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, where the coffee is strong, the waffles are fresh, and the gossip is hotter than ever. My name is Leaf, and I'm your seasoned Gossip Girl veteran.
And I'm Steve. I'm the newbie exploring the glitz and glamour of the Upper East Side for the very first time. I'm the greenhorn, the new kid on the block. What do you call the fresh meat on Gossip Girl, Leaf?
I don't know. I think they would label you as a project. You know, the girls that have the potential to be a Blairite.
All right. So dress me up in an Eleanor Waldorf original and let's get started.
Sounds good.
So here's the deal, folks. Leaf's been into Gossip Girl from the very beginning, and I'm exploring this iconic show for the very first time. And together, we're your dynamic duo dissecting all the drama and sometimes questionable fashion choices of our favorite Upper East Siders.
That's right. Each week, we'll break down all the schemes, secret hookups, and couture catastrophes. And trust me, there are a few of them.
And because we're all about inclusivity here, whether you're brand new to the show or a veteran like Leaf, there is always room for you at the Non-Judging Breakfast Table. So grab your coffee, grab your mimosa, or some of Nate and Chuck's special medicine, and let's dive into this.
All right. Today we are going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 6, The Handmaid's Tale. Do you know what that is a reference to?
I do. I'm assuming the book, The Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood. Classic, yes. You know, classic high school canon literature. I've actually never taught it. But I would also assume that this predates the show.
At this point, yeah, there was a little bit of overlap, I believe, but not at this. The show had not come out at this point.
Yeah.
The original air date indeed was October 24th, 2007. The IMDb episode description reads, Dan finds himself between two girls when his childhood friend Vanessa returns to New York and declares her feelings for him. Just as he and Serena are trying to figure out what they mean to each other, at the mass ball, Blair sends Nate on a scavenger hunt, but Nate is distracted by his feelings for Serena. Although Blair said the outsiders were not welcome to the party, a disguised Jenny and Dan sneak into the ball. Finally, Lily asks Rufus to accompany her to an Eleanor Waldorf event, only to make Bart Bass jealous. So we get a new character, Vanessa.
Yeah.
Added to the main cast, Jessica Zazar. Probably saying that name wrong. Zar? Zor?
Zor? Zazar?
It's like S-Z-O-R, I believe.
Zar? Zaur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also has a podcast.
Oh, okay. I mean, if I was on Gossip Girl, I'd have a podcast. Yeah.
She is the only one that actually, like, her and Ed Westwick are the only ones that are, like, still clinging on to it. Everyone else from the show kind of hates the show. Although, now that Penn Badgley has his own podcast, he's also starting to embrace it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But he also has a lot of other work
Yeah.
that he's done.
Well, yeah, he's very famous for You now. And he had his band for a while, and he's been in a few cult movies. He was very popular in Easy A. Mm-hmm. Also, John Tucker Must Die.
Oh right,
he was the good brother.
Oh, okay, okay.
That was when he had the goofy long hair too.
Oh wow, yeah, I can't even picture it because it's been so long since I've seen that.
Anyways, episode was directed by Norman Buckley. He has been directing for quite a while, does a lot of big episodes for Josh Schwartz shows, including 12 episodes of Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I definitely felt like there was a lot of directorial control in this show, in this episode. Yeah.
And it was written by Jessica Queller, who's been credited as the writer for 9 episodes of Gossip Girl. Also wrote for Gossip Girl Acapulco and Gossip Girl Indonesia. Showrunner for Supergirl. Also worked on One Tree Hill, Felicity, Gilmore Girls. So definitely a veteran of teen drama.
Yeah, very much so. And yet I think it's an important point to talk about, like, writer's room makeups a lot of the time, because this episode is credited to a woman, but there is just a lot of that male fantasy outcome to a lot of it, that I remember the first thing I did after I finished the episode was scroll up to see who was credited as the writer. Because I was like, did a man write this episode? Because it just, and again, if you want to explain, like, writer's room.
So the way typical writer's room works is all the writers on the staff are in the room. Obviously, it is an actual room, and they storyboard an idea for an episode. They come up with all the ideas, but then one writer is assigned the task of putting it on paper into an actual script form.
Right. And then that script form then goes to the showrunner.
Correct.
Who has their final cut.
Yes.
And so it was a team of writers who did this, but I definitely feel, and we'll get to it as the episode goes on, I feel like there was some very heavy-handed, a man wrote this kind of feeling to a lot of, especially later in the episode.
Yeah, I can see that. Now is a good time to point out that I have been paying attention to our analytics from Spotify. And
nice.
We are on now 3 continents, North America, Europe, and Asia.
So, welcome, Europe. Welcome, Asia.
And our fan base is growing also in the U.S., so we'd like to hear from you guys, so send some emails to the nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com or check us out on socials and send us some messages and just interact. We'd love to interact with the fans.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, and I need to get the actual username up, but one of our followers on Threads actually responded to one of our posts, because I had posted about if Linkin Hawk is number 9 on the list of the top 10 most forgotten bands of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Who are the other nine bands? And Mikey Jerome the bartender responded with a couple good ones. 7 Mary 3. Do you remember 7 Mary 3? Come home.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
Spin Doctors.
Oh, they're not forgotten at all.
Which I felt like, what, Spin Doctors and Bare Naked Ladies, I felt like they weren't really forgotten at all. Those were also on this person's list, but Silver Chair was another one.
They're more of like a soft metal.
Yeah, they were, I think they were like the 17-year-olds from Australia or something.
I know nothing about them other than like the general sound.
Yeah, about them. Yeah, so I was very happy to hear some contributions yeah. to this.
Keep it coming, guys.
Yeah.
And gals.
And I also had a little bit of a story that I wanted to drop, because I was hanging out with one of my closest friends from college, and he was telling me this story about how his late wife went into a coffee shop in Brooklyn when they used to live up there, and there was a man who was in there crying, and you know, she was just this most generous heart. Her name was Joy, and she's just the most generous heart. And she went up to this person, and he had just been dumped by his girlfriend and was just kicked off of, was just fired from his job. And it turns out that that job was that he was working on a TV show, and this person happened to be Sebastian Stan that she was talking to right after he got fired from Gossip Girl and dumped by Leighton Meester.
Yeah, and then his career picked up though.
It definitely took off from there. I forgot
that they had dated
briefly,
because I won't spoil anything, but I forgot that they did date in real life.
He makes a cameo in Bupkis, the Pete Davidson show on Peacock, that he leaves his his account logged in, and Pete Davidson ordered a bunch of stuff to his Peacock.
I don't know what I'm doing with that show in my life. I'm sure I'm missing out incredibly by not watching that show.
You'll be okay.
Anyways, let's go ahead and get into the episode.
Yeah.
We open the episode with a Gossip Girl monologue over a montage of Renaissance paintings and pictures of masquerade balls.
Yes. And I wanted to point out that in that opening monologue, there is another direct reference to the royalty, to these Upper East Siders essentially being the royalty of New York, or American nobility, so to speak, which that really stood out to me, because you had mentioned it in episode 3 that it's that royal court. Yes. So
yeah, this is the American nobility. I have some like very brief interactions with these Upper East Side people, and it is a total different world.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Like one of my dad's friends is from, like, his parents live on, you know, Park Avenue. My dad went to the wedding for his friend, and it was insane.
Yeah.
It was at one of these big, like, you know, plaza hotels or something.
Yeah.
But anyways, so the closest thing I got to a ball in high school was, I think we liked trying to convince the DJ to play that AC/DC song, "We Got the Biggest Balls," of at all the school dances. we were big AC/DC fans in high school. All the jocks. Jenny is at a jewelry store running errands for Blair. The jeweler presumptuously lends Jenny a bracelet and puts it on Blair's tab. No way this could possibly go wrong.
Right. And I remember sitting there watching that, thinking the episode's a Handmaid's Tale, but they're setting up a Cinderella story already.
Like, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The titles, so they did much better with the titles in the OC, where the title actually reflects like multiple things in the storyline usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Gossip Girl, sometimes it sort of relates to the story, but it's usually just they want to reference some stupid movie they were watching that day.
Yeah, or make a pun.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so at the Waldorf penthouse, Blair tells Serena her plans to seduce Nate at the masquerade. Blair wants Serena to help in this little game. Again, I'm sure nothing will go wrong here.
Yeah. Hey, you know that boyfriend of mine that I said never to speak to you again because you banged him at a wedding? Yeah, why don't you help me bang him tonight, because I'm sure he's over all of that.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been weird.
So the last person he talks to before we have sex should be you.
Yeah. 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 Could you be the last thing that he's
thinking of?
Get him
warmed up for me?
Yeah. The other great line in this is when Serena's talking about taking Dan and not sure if he's going to want to go or if he's even available. And Blair says, well, yeah, he is Dan Humphrey after all.
Hey, at least she knows his name now.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I thought that was such a great reference back to her never knowing his name.
Yeah. The Humphreys are at the loft also talking about the ball. Dan hates dances and thinks Serena is fine with him skipping it, but Rufus is skeptical.
Yeah, and it seems that not only does Rufus think obviously Serena's going to want him to go, Rufus thinks Dan kind of wants to be where Serena is.
And
so,
I think, yeah, it's pretty clear that Rufus is right in this situation.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious right away.
We are still in the good dad Rufus era. We'll see how long that lasts. I think he's definitely a better dad for Dan than he is for Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
But yes. So back at the penthouse, we find out that Rufus was right to be skeptical because Serena clearly wants to go with Dan, but is, you know, afraid to ask him because she thinks that he doesn't want to go. Classic teen miscommunication.
Yeah. Just talk to each other like you did last week.
Yeah. But we got to reset and relearn lessons.
Yeah.
It's network TV.
Yeah.
And back at the loft, Dan is contemplating asking Serena because it turns out he does want to go to the ball. But the conversation is interrupted by a phone call from newcomer Vanessa, who sneaks in through the fire escape while on the phone.
Yeah. And I doubt anything's going to go wrong here, too.
Any initial thoughts on Vanessa?
I mean, I thought she was, I guess, fun. I didn't really have any problem with her. I mean, I thought the story made sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love of your life comes back a year later. The first hint of any melanin in our main characters,
not minions or servants or assistants.
Exactly, it's the first person of color who is not a minion or a servant to somebody else.
Yeah,
which really says a lot.
It is the CW, the Pretty White People Network, as it was known back then.
Yeah.
As Vanessa walks out to say hello to Rufus, Dan gets a call from Serena. It appears Serena is about to ask Dan to the ball, but he is instantly caught lying about Vanessa. Serena changes her mind and tells Blair that she needs a date.
Yeah, the lies, Dan. Like, it was an easy one.
Yeah.
It was an easy one not to lie about. Oh, an old childhood friend just showed up.
Yep.
Like, it's an easy one. The only reason to lie is if you feel guilty.
Which he does in this situation, because at this point, it's Dan who had said that he loved Vanessa, apparently, before she went away.
Right.
But this will be later retcon, so.
Which
also does make more sense, because Dan, canonically, has always been in love with Serena.
Yeah, it does. At the same time, I mean, I know I was a teenager where I was in love with my girlfriend, but then but there was someone else that I was in love with that, you know, I never would have thought I ever would have dated, you know, like, you know, there's that. Yeah.
But I mean, like, Dan's like writing stories about Serena.
Yeah.
So Vanessa in the books is a little bit of a different character. She's also Dan's best friend, but she is like more ingrained in the Upper East Side. She is a student at Constance. She has a bald head and she shaves her head. And her sister is in a lesbian punk band, famously. Like, that's like mentioned constantly.
In the books, but never in the show.
It's briefly mentioned in the show, but like they completely take out the fact that she was a student at Constance,
right,
and she is now like even poorer than Dan.
I'm just thinking of the tour of Linkin Hawk and the lesbian punk band. I just want to get them out on the road together now. I want Gossip Girlapalooza. That's the concert I want to see. The most anticipated concert of 2008.
So that's kind of the setup for the episode as we move on to Act Two, where Nate creeps down the stairs and overhears his parents arguing about the captain's business deal with Eleanor Waldorf. Even Nate notices father seems to be under some stress.
Yeah, and this is the first time that we're meeting Nate's mom.
Yes.
So Nate is the first character with both parents.
Misses the captain.
Yeah, misses the captain. Although sometimes I feel like it's more Mr. I can't remember the family now. But what's her family? The
Waldorfs?
No, the captain's wife. The
Vanderbilts.
The Vanderbilts, yeah. I feel like it's Mr. Vanderbilt sometimes.
Yes, definitely. She definitely has the more older money.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of a new venture capitalist.
Yeah.
And so, Dan and Vanessa walk down the streets of Brooklyn, planning Vanessa's first night back in the city. Dan and Vanessa have an awkward conversation about unrequited feelings.
Yeah, and there's the whole, what did Dan say a year ago? They don't come out and say it there. They say it later on. But there is that whole, what did he say? Because now he clearly is ready to move on.
Yeah. And then, Dan, Chuck, and Nate are at the Archibald townhouse. They discuss the missing money in Nate's account from 2 weeks ago. They find a fat bag of coke in one of the books. Nate tells Chuck that it isn't his. Who could it belong to?
I love how impressed Chuck is when Nate has the coke.
I thought you were strictly an herbal man, Nate.
Yeah. And there's that, you see that look in Chuck's eyes of like, hey, it's not usually my thing, but I'm good to go. let's do a bump.
See, I think it was more like, I've been wanting to do this for a while, and why weren't you coming along? If I knew you were into this, we would have been hanging out more. What's going on?
Ghosts? Yeah. But these two seem to be fine.
Back at the penthouse, Blair is trying to find a socially acceptable date for Serena while the teens are planning a ball. Eleanor is planning a Moroccan themed party, hookah included.
Yeah, the totally culturally appropriated party going on at the Waldorf estate.
This scene always reminds me. So my aunt always tells me that my grandmother back in like the 70s had a hookah in their house.
Oh, geez.
As just kind of like as a decorative piece.
That's really funny.
Nate is walking the Manhattan streets in search of someone to talk to. He calls his girlfriend Blair, but only gets her voicemail.
Yeah, he is shook over this coke.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how I would react. How I would have reacted in high school if I would have found a bag of my dad's coke. But my dad was so anti-drugs. But like, it would
I don't know how I would feel. Like. I probably wouldn't really. Cause like, I definitely knew my dad was smoking weed. So I mean,
yeah. I was such a dare kid in high school. Like I may have had the same response as Nate.
Yeah. At the penthouse, Jenny is dropping off the jewelry that she picked up earlier. Blair immediately spots the bracelet on Jenny's wrist. And Blair O'Sweeties Jenny and points out that freshmen aren't allowed at the dance. Jenny is clearly heartbroken. Blair appears to soften at the end of this conversation, but as she walks away, the camera pans to Jenny scowling at Blair's back. Uh-oh.
Yeah, Jenny is pissed.
Look out, Blair.
Yeah. Yeah, look. Jenny. And this is the first time. So, you know, that we've always seen Jenny turn the tides in these situations. And this was the first time that you really see Jenny in a place where she doesn't really know that she has an out, you know, that she's like actually a little worried about it.
Yeah. And then at the Vanderwoodson suite, Lily asks Serena about her dress for Eleanor's party. Serena lets Lily know she is not going to the dance with Dan, and Lily is pleased.
Yeah. Yeah. Rich Boy 4. Who would I be dating? So smooth. So smooth.
But yeah, kind of weird that her mom wants her to, quote unquote, play the field.
Yeah.
That's not normally what parents are looking for.
Yeah.
But I guess Dan's just that disgusting.
Yeah. And well, and I think it's more of the Rufus thing. You know, here's Rufus's kid who comes in and gives me lip whenever I see him. He's just another Rufus, and I don't want that for my kid, but you kind of want it for you, Lily.
Yeah, she might be a little jealous.
Yeah.
Back at the loft, Dan leaves a voicemail inviting Jenny to the movies with them and Vanessa. However, the computer was left on, and Dan sees Serena is looking for a date to the ball.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So now Dan finds out that Serena is going to the ball and looking for a date.
And yeah, and it's, yep, and it's not, and it's not him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he doesn't know he's been caught in a lie.
Yes, Serena is chatting with multiple potential suitors while we see Dan reserve a tux. Serena picks a date. So, yeah, what do you say, Rich Boy?
Yeah, Rich Boy the 4th.
The 4th, okay.
Yeah, which later on, because later on, Dan actually makes a reference back to the name. So, he calls him Pompous Ass the 4th.
So, Nate, having nowhere else to turn, knocks on Serena's door. Nate confesses his suspicion that his father is having coke and financial problems. I guess he instinctively knows that Chuck would not be a good help in this situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, from Chuck's reaction, Chuck would probably be high-fiving the captain right now.
Yes. Let's do it, Dad.
Yeah. Oh, you're upset, Nate. Okay, hold on. I'm going to go. Where's your dad at right now?
And at the loft, Rufus and Vanessa talk. Rufus is off to a party with a friend. Not a date, a friend.
Yeah, yeah, just a friend. Yeah, who we soon did we don't know yet who it is, right? We
I think we do.
Okay.
Dan calls Vanessa to cancel their movie date, but lies about the reason.
Yep.
That's number two, Danny boy.
Yeah. Two, like, just lies, lies,
lies. For
the
sake of lying.
Yeah. Early on, I have Lonely Boy lies, lies, lies in my notes, and now he hits it again.
Not looking good for Mr. Dan.
No.
Jenny comes home looking defeated, and Vanessa tries to comfort her. Curly Vanessa is very integrated with the entire Humphrey family.
Yeah, I actually really liked this aspect of Vanessa, that it kind of evens the teams a little bit, that you have someone else who is on the Brooklyn side of things. It also establishes that same sort of relationship that Eric and Blair have with Vanessa and Jenny.
Yes.
That, like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Here's a little sister to me because my best friend's little sister.
Yeah.
Right.
The show definitely loves doing parallels. So yeah, I definitely see that now that you pointed out.
Yeah.
All right. At Eleanor's party, Rufus and Lily are talking. Lily introduces Rufus to Eleanor, and they both insist it's not a date.
Not a date.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Yeah, like way too much. Definitely not a date.
Yeah. Bart Bass is also at the party with a date, and we get an awkward introductions all around. Lily's plan is beginning to come into focus.
I also want to... there's the interaction when, when he says something about being the patron saint of lost rock stars, and she says, "Since when were you a rock star?" Let's put a little respect to number 9 on the Rolling Stones' 10 most forgotten bands of the 90s, yes. Lily. Let's get a little respect for number 9.
And we get a quick scene of the captain fawning over Eleanor. That's very awkward.
Yeah. And he just seems uncomfortable and trying too hard from the get.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see people acting like they're high or drunk, but not actually being high or drunk.
Yeah.
And so... back at the law, Vanessa convinces Jenny to crash the ball.
Handmaiden is just Jane Austen for slave.
Yes.
Was a great line, and really brings out the meaning of what you're doing this whole time, Jenny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone is masking up for the ball, including Dan, who takes a mask off an already drunk patron, and nice social engineering by Dan using the guy's name to get in the door.
Yeah. Dan played that so smooth. Like, just a man wrote this episode smooth. Like, yo, what's your name, Bal? Boom.
Like, that is like actually just Penn Badgley, I think.
Yeah.
Because I've been listening to his podcast lately, and like he just like simultaneously crosses or seamlessly crosses back and forth between being like super arrogant, but like, and then next minute he's like the nicest guy in the world, and he's like super compassionate, and like it's really unusual.
Oh, wow. He has those moments where he's just completely smooth.
Yeah.
And then you're right, but then he goes like from smooth Dan to awkward Dan so quickly. Yeah. But like, and this moment just being one of those, just it was just so smooth.
Yeah. Vanessa somehow managed to sneak Jenny into the ball, along with getting her a costume from one of her theater friends.
Yeah, that was neat. And also establishes another little bit of background of Vanessa. Yes. Vanessa's a theater person at the school where she goes to, at the school she attends.
She, I don't think it's been mentioned, but she's actually homeschooled.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay, but she's...
And she's like living on her by herself.
Oh.
In New York.
Yeah, that adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We never actually like see where she lives.
Oh, jeez. So the one main cast member who is the one cast member of color doesn't have parents, and we don't see where she lives.
Well, where is it? They moved to Vermont or something.
And she moves back.
Yeah, she just comes back, and like I guess it's mentioned she's living with her sister. So like, there is a few mentions of her sister from the you know, it's more of a character in the books.
Okay.
But yeah, like that's supposedly where she's living, but they never show it, and they never show her sister. And as sometimes I think she might just be living in Rufus's cafe. All right. And then so Necta's Guess Who plays as Jenny nervously enters the hazy lights of the masquerade ball.
She's sneaking in. She looks great. In the costume, the like
I just like the way that this whole scene is shot.
Yeah, yeah.
With the very hazy lights, and it's like it's just like this mysterious world opens up for her.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even tell which cast member it was with those masks on. Like, I got that's where this whole episode took a turn, because I just couldn't tell who
one blonde girl looks exactly like the other.
Yeah, yeah, they both have
a yellow dress.
Yeah.
Dan enters and sees Serena dancing with someone else. You snooze, you lose, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you think's going to happen? And now imagine being Dan, like, wow, this is completely out of nowhere. What could I have possibly done to have deserved this? And it's like, you know, I love how he wouldn't even know that he's caught in this lie, which it's everything he deserves is happening right now. it's everything he doesn't deserve.
He screwed up.
Yeah, he really screwed up.
And then so Vanessa returns to the party because she accidentally took Jenny's keys.
Yeah.
So she's coming back.
That was convenient.
Yes. Yeah. Very convenient. But we don't get the payoff quite yet. Blair is standing with Chuck and asking why Nate isn't looking for her. Chuck once again notices a masked Jenny from across the room, not realizing it was one of his previous victims.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually kind of always wondered, because there is the whole, like, oh, they're wearing masks and don't seem to recognize each other. I also kind of wondered if Chuck figured it out. I mean, he does by the end. So I kind of wondered if he thought, oh, okay, now she's coming around to me. But either way, that whole interaction is...
I don't know if he ever actually figured it out.
He says her name at the end. He says who did it at the end.
But he didn't know who it was the first
time. All throughout. Yeah,
I don't know if he connects Jenny to the first, to the pilot episode. Like, I think, because I think he, not to excuse what he did, but I think he was probably just drunk and it was just some random girl and he didn't remember who that was at all.
Well, at the end of this episode, he does say, Jenny Humphrey got me out of my clothes and managed to get me not to enjoy.
Now he knows, like, this, he connects this incident to Jenny Humphrey, but I'm not sure if he's connecting the pilot episode to Jenny Humphrey.
Because I know that there's a, I'm starting to see now the pivot to decanonizing the pilot, which I think is also kind of shitty of, like, not making the character own it and to soften up on it, which again, just kind of, you know, goes back to some of the other problems in this episode. It's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, so the Josh Schwartz definitely reads message boards. He got really meta with the OC. And he gets meta with the show as well. And Chuck was a popular character with young women.
Yeah.
This was the era of Twilight, and they, I think, specifically casted Ed Westwick, another Englishman, to kind of be a
pale, another Patterson,
Patterson light,
Diet Patterson,
yes, and it worked,
yeah,
because he was by far and still is the most popular character.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. But I see the pivot. I do see them starting more and more to ignore the pilot.
So I got behind him as a entertaining character for a few seasons, but I never got on board with rooting for him as a romantic interest.
And yeah.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
But I did. I never did.
Yeah.
And then, so where were we? Blair. So Chuck approaches Jenny, and Jenny plays coy.
So yeah. And then
kind of talked about.
Yeah.
And then so the captain is shooting his shot with Eleanor, but Eleanor doubts that Nate's mom flashes the Vanderbilt. But yeah, Eleanor's kind of showing doubts and you know, letting the captain be represent her company. But then
Nate's mom steps in with the dowry.
Yes. Well, yeah, the reverse dowry.
The reverse dowry. Yeah. She should have this engagement ring.
This very fancy diamond.
There's so much to unpack in that scene, though. Like, because Nate's mom, you see her completely take control, win the deal by shutting down the captain and saying to the captain, like, hey, you're boring her with business talk. Yes. We're at a party.
Yep. And then let's flash talk. The family jewel, the yeah. literal family jewels.
The literal family jewels. And she should wear this ring, the Vanderbilt ring.
Yeah. Going back to your earlier point of who wears the pants, she also has the family jewels.
Yeah. She literally has the family jewels that she has just basically pawned off to close this deal with her husband. So I'm really happy for the captain. I'm sure that now everything is going to work out for him. That's a wrap on, and now he can lighten up on Nate a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I mean, he of course still has to marry Blair.
Of course he's going to have to marry Blair and go to Dartmouth.
60 now.
Yeah.
Shifting back to Rufus and Lily, Rufus goes in for the kiss to quote unquote help Lily make Bart jealous.
Yeah. As long as you're watching, he's winning. That's like my Robin shout out for the day. Because when Rufus says, because Lily keeps looking over at Bart, and mm-hmm. Rufus says, "Hey, as long as you're watching, he's winning." And that was when Robin gave her. Her snaps for episode 7, but it's a great message and a great line, and he was right. Make Bart be the one who's looking.
All right, and then back at the ball, Serena is bored by her date when Dan steps in, but Serena is clearly upset at him.
Yeah, the date's not going well. But also Dan lied to her and she's mad that he's there, and man, is she going to really let him have it? And I don't see him possibly explaining his way out of this. What is he possibly going to have to say to get himself out of this one?
And I don't know if you caught, where Serena's date said he has his summer house at.
No.
Newport Beach.
Oh, That's funny.
Which is, of course, the OC.
The OC, yeah. That is a nice little Easter egg.
I mean, so this show started the season after the OC ended. So this is
the immediate follow-up.
Yeah. So, he actually started both Chuck and Gossip Girl the same season.
Yeah.
Right after the OC ended.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so Cadi and Iz are trying to lead Nate to Blair, but the only thing he hears is Serena. Serena? Oh,
yeah. Oh, I gotta go find her.
Yes, you know, Nate, the big golden retriever that he is.
Yeah. You just see his ears perk up. Tail starts to wag. That's a leg I want to hump.
I really wish the show would have leaned more into Chase Crawford's comedic side, because... Mm-hmm. He does a really good job at on the boys.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hilarious.
But, and whenever he's given like funny material on the show, he does well, but they try and give him like all these serious stories and it doesn't work. It's not his strength. Jenny convinces Chuck to go to the roof and leaves a trail of his clothes for her to follow.
Yeah.
Jenny's playing a little game here.
Jenny is playing a little game here, and it is brilliant. Yeah. And yeah.
She is definitely gone full Upper East Side here after Blair kind of, you know, spurned her there. She, ever since that glower she gave Blair, she's on a roll.
She's ready to take down Upper East Siders.
Yeah. Serena tries to leave, but Dan catches up and confronts her. Serena reveals that she caught him in a lie. Dan apologizes, and Dan and Serena kiss as Vanessa conveniently sees. So we get that payoff finally.
Yeah. Yeah. Vanessa sees the two of them kiss. It makes sense to her why Dan canceled on her. And so, of course, Dan, who already has, you know, man, how are you possibly going to get out of this one, Dan? Now, granted, he tells the truth. He doesn't say, like, oh, I was in love with this person, but he's just like, oh, I don't know, I panicked. It's like, great.
Yeah.
Man, great resolution there.
But he gets the kiss somehow.
He does. Yeah. And then Vanessa runs off. So, you know, clearly the only thing to do is
chase after Vanessa
to explain.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you'll only do that once.
Yeah. Anyway, so that is the end of Act 2, and we move on to Act 3. Dan goes after Vanessa, much to Serena's chagrin. Dan is busted by Vanessa for lie number 2, and Dan tries to call it a lie of omission, but clearly he lied and told her he was writing an American history paper. That was definitely not a lie of omission.
Yeah. He outright lied to her. And awkward Dan's excuse.
And Serena also overhears the conversation once again, and Dan chases after Vanessa again.
Yeah. Chases after her again. Oh, I've got to go. Like, are you kidding me? Like, well, I mean, but at least at this point, I'm guarantee, you know, when Serena sees this, you know, she's not going to let him chase after her twice. I mean, now she's just going to shut that shit down and be like, well, clearly there's something more there. So obviously Serena won't let him, you know, get away with this.
Yeah, Serena. Anyways, Jenny, taking charge here, locks Chuck on the roof in his underwear. She gets a measure of revenge from the pilot.
Yeah. Good for Jenny. Yeah, that was great. Take the clothes and run while...
And the phone.
Yeah, oh, and the phone, and lock him on the roof. Brilliant, Jenny. Well done.
Yep. Dan continues to have the worst episode as he accosts a random woman on the street.
Yeah.
Dan, don't just grab random people on the street.
Seriously. Yeah.
At night, grabbing a woman on the street. That's not a good idea.
Yeah. Especially like the one like ethnically different person on the street that you run up to and grab and like, oh, I'm sorry. You fucking asshole.
Yeah. Back at the penthouse, Lily is clearly uneasy to confront her true feelings for Rufus. Unready to confront her true feelings for Rufus. Yeah. So they're having a little talk there as they're on that little bench.
Yeah. And that is that when Bart approaches too, right?
Yeah, that the scene ends.
Yeah.
Can I have a word?
Yeah.
Can I have a word, Lily?
Yeah. And there is that, you know, again, Lily definitely has a thing for Rufus, but Lily so far has liked money and power more than love.
Yes.
Like and she's pretty open about that decision that money and power has always been more important to Lily than love ever since she left Rufus. Mm-hmm. Well, no, ever since she left Trent Reznor, because she traded, because it was after Rockstars that she moved on to Billionaires. But
but back at the ball, Nate is still trying to catch up with Serena as she runs into the ladies' room. So he's foiled again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in the bathroom here, we get the big switcheroo. Jenny and Serena talk about Vanessa. Jenny does a great job talking out Dan. So this maybe is what got Dan forgiveness more than what Dan did.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jenny also, you know, winning for herself and winning for Dan too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Serena then gives Jenny her jacket and mask, and of course now they are indistinguishable from each other.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And now we all,
even though Blake Lively is about 3 or 4 inches taller.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Taylor yeah. But other than
and
that,
and probably you know, and a little bit heavier as well, but not in a bad way, but just. She's just a larger woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah.
just a and then so we get that, and then Nate approaches Jenny from behind, thinking it's Serena, and tells her he has feelings for her and kisses Jenny. As Jenny runs away, the real Serena shows up and tells a stunned Nate that he has to find Blair right away. So again. Guys, don't grab women from behind.
Yeah, don't grab women from behind. Definitely don't kiss women that you grab from behind.
Unless you know, you're definitely sure who it is and they want it.
Yeah.
They can
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And neither yeah. of these women wanted to be grabbed from behind.
Yes. So Nate has to find Blair right away, but Blair also mistakes Jenny for Serena, but realizes the truth instantly as she recognizes the bracelet.
Yeah, when Prince Charming rips the bracelet off of Cinderella.
Yes.
Because she can't be there when the masks come off at midnight.
Exactly. Yeah. So apparently the little masks work wonders because even Dan mistakes his own sister for Serena as Jenny runs by.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody. Yep. It's the mask. Because, yeah. you know, you can't see the face. You know, like I said, yeah. once the masks went on, I lost all concept of which character was exactly, which yes. because I just couldn't tell what the masks are. Yep.
All right, that is the end of Act 3. We move on to the epilogue. Chuck, Nate, and Blair all exit the ball. Nate fails Blair's test and has to go home with Chuck. Yeah. You thought you were getting Blair, but you got to go home with Chuck.
Yeah.
I almost felt bad for Nate, but he screwed that up himself.
Yeah, he did. My only thing about Nate is... all Nate wanted this entire episode was to talk to Blair. So I kind of, the only thing that I felt for with Nate there is that I don't think Nate was expecting to go home with Blair to have sex the way it was planned out to be. Mm-hmm. I think Nate just yeah. wanted to go be with Blair to finally be able to talk about what's bothering him.
Yeah, I mean, if Blair would have just answered his calls.
Yeah, exactly. But now instead, he's going to go home and...
He's a golden retriever. Whatever's the shiny thing in his face right now is what he's yep. wagging his tail for. So
yep.
If you're not in his field of vision, he's out of sight, out of mind.
Very, very much. Yeah.
Dan and Serena catch up and somehow Dan still gets the girl, as we were talking about.
Yeah, Dan has no right to win. Yeah. What's the rest of this note? He has absolutely no right to win in this episode. He loses in every step of the way because of everything he does. He lies. He chases after the wrong girl twice. Like, you do everything wrong. And in the previous episode, there was a lot of that, like, oh, here's this very... typical teen drama plot line, and I was like, oh, I like how they twisted it, though. I like how they had different resolutions, and it feels like they tried to do this again, but it's like, no, he was shitty and he did shitty things over and over, and he just was just let him off the hook for all of it. Yes.
And then Nate comes home where his mom has found the cocaine from earlier and blames Nate. His father silently looks on, guilt written all over his face. Worst parents on the show.
Yeah, Absolutely. Yeah. Especially, and like, I'd even just, I put the spotlight clear on the captain with worst parent on the show, because she doesn't, she thinks it's Nate's, right? Like, and yeah, I'd be, mm-hmm. I'd be mad if I found coke on my high school kid. Like, I've told my kids all along, there's a time and place for everything, and that's college. And six, you know, I would have, you know, I would have been upset with that. But the fact that he just sits there and lets him take the fall was just.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, like, that dude is a piece of shit.
And then the final scene, we get back at the loft. Dan already got the girl, and now he gets his friend, too.
So. And he gets the friend, too.
So he gets the pierogi and gets to eat it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets the pierogi and eats it as well.
He gets the pierogi and he gets to eat it as well. And like, Robin the whole time is watching this, like, why do you have to have this conversation on a bed, though? Like, why are you in his room on the bed, though? Like, go to the living room. Go somewhere else. Like, why are you shutting the door? Like, it's still, like, which...
I mean, so, I could kind of understand that in that that's just kind of what you did with the high school friends. You just...
I get it.
You went to your room and you sat on the bed.
Yeah. But I would also, if Serena knew that he was hanging out on his bed talking to her, I could... She would...
Yeah, she would be jealous.
Yeah, she could have... There's room for jealousy there. I did want to point out the one line that the note that I had, I finally interpreted it, is the ice capades. When Jenny makes the comment early on, he like, he'd never go to the ice capades.
Yeah.
And when she says, I've got tickets to the ice capades, if you're there, I'd go. It's like, God damn. But he is good. Like,
but I mean, it's not, but he lucked into that because Jenny set him up for it.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah,
Jenny set
him
up for it.
You are absolutely right.
That I mean, he gives the right answer. But
he does, but that was Jenny's win.
Yeah, she's definitely teed it up for him.
Yeah.
So the next episode, season 1, episode 7, of Victor Victrola, the Max episode. Any predictions?
I'm sorry. I wanted to make one more comment about Vanessa and Dan.
Okay.
Vanessa, what are you apologizing for? Why are you apologizing to this guy who fucking lied to you? Who, like, you don't know that he accosted the wrong woman, but like, why are you apologizing for anything?
Yeah.
And that's the note is actually, Vanessa, stop apologizing. Also, a man wrote this. No, but.
And so the next episode, season 1, episode 7, Victor Victrola. Any predictions?
It sounds like it's a Victor Victoria play on the word, the words. So, and maybe Victor Victoria comes from the Victora Victrola, is it?
But I mean, any idea like where the stories are going?
Just by the title or well, from the stories, because the title tells me there's some kind of cross-dressing shenanigans, but I could be completely off base with that. but story-wise, I mean, Nate is kind of screwed with what's going on with his family. Like, they're going to make a deal of it. Is he going to end up at the Ostroff Center? Oh, boy. Yeah, and so, like, what's that gonna do to Blair's relationship? And but, like, it looks like Serena and Dan are just moving along happily.
Yeah. Well, the Max episode preview states Serena and Dan finally acknowledge that they are crazy about each other.
Oh, good. You know, when Robin and I got back from Seattle this summer, we went out to dinner with her mom, and her mom said, you know, I can see now why you two are perfect for each other. You're like, Jill, it's been 10 years. We've been together a decade. Like, you're at our wedding. You see now that we're good for each other. Sorry, but yeah. Like, yeah, 3 episodes in, like, you're just now realizing that you like each other.
Again, that's just the network TV thing. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break and then come back for some segments.
Awesome.
All right. We are back for some segments. We're going to go into episode grades. You went first last time, so I'm going to go first this time. I thought this was a pretty good episode. There was a lot of drama. I liked the directing. There was a lot of cool shots, like especially the shot of Jenny entering the ball for the first time. I really liked that. The acting was pretty good all around. Dialogue, for the most part, was good, even though I didn't like a lot of the direction towards the end. The resolution was not the best. And it was also a little tropiness, you know, the tropes with the misdirection with the mass, and, you know, that kind of all brought it down a little bit. So I'm going to go with a B.
Yeah, I really struggle to give this one a B minus. I give it a B minus because of everything that isn't the writing. Like, I felt like the story in this one, Jenny's storyline, great, but everything else in it, I just felt was like they like an excuse for an episode rather than an episode. Like, I feel like there was a lot that was well done by, like you said, the directing, the acting in it is fantastic. You know, there's that you can't take away from that, but the script itself, the writing itself,
weak.
Yeah, it was weak, and the storylines were weak, and the, you know, Dan Humphrey winning in the end after all of the shit he did, it was, yeah, I B minus because of everything else that carried this episode.
All right. And so moving on to the stock watch, I had going up Serena. She did actually, you know, she does like Dan, and she got with Dan, so she kind of won there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally wouldn't have forgiven him that quick. I also had Rufus going up because, you know, he got to kiss Lily.
Yeah.
So that's a win.
Yeah.
And then Lily also going up because, well, she got what she wanted. She made Bart jealous, obviously. So that seemed to work out. Her plan worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she got to kiss Rufus.
Yeah.
She didn't seem like she hated.
No, it doesn't. I think that she liked it more than she wanted to.
Yeah. And then also I gave Vanessa stock going up. She came out on the scene. She helped Jenny get into the party. You know, she was a good friend. She was forgiving, and she, you know, she apologized even though she didn't even have to. Yeah. So, you know, I said up for her. What about you?
So
who you got going up?
Going up first and foremost is Jenny. Just,
oh yeah,
owning.
How did I forget Jenny?
Owning Chuck. Yeah, that's fair, but going,
she's always up, going up.
Yeah, Jenny was for sure going up. Yeah, I definitely have Rufus and Lily also both going up, because they're both kind of getting what they want and also kind of figuring out what they want, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've definitely not seen the last of those two together. I really kind of had Serena breaking even, Serena and Vanessa breaking even for letting Dan off the hook. You know, I thought that their decisions up until letting him off the hook, and furthermore apologizing for Dan being an asshole, like, I found both of them to just stay the same. Nate obviously plummeted.
We're doing up.
Oh, we're just doing up still? Okay, yeah. So those were my ups.
Okay. So make sure you notate those. You don't have to do it now. But just,
yeah.
And then we got going down for me. I had Nate obviously going down because, you know, he's screwed up. He tried to kiss Serena, which he wasn't supposed to do in the first place because he was with Blair, but he ended up kissing Jenny, and he was just an idiot the whole episode, running around like a lost dog. Blair, yeah, she tried to set up this elaborate scheme and it crashed in her face. So stock down. And the biggest drop, Dan, liar, yes. Liar, pants on fire.
Yeah. Dan had an entire episode of his. Dan had like two episodes worth of stock drops in one episode, because it was like lie, chase after wrong girl, chase after wrong girl.
Yes, but as we know, he is a pretty white person, so he gets to fail upward.
Yeah, yeah, and that is exactly 100% what he did.
So that happened. So, best outfit for me, it was Serena's yellow ruffle. It's a Valentino gown with a black faux bolero coat, faux fur.
Nice.
That was from the gown was from Valentino's spring summer 2007 collection.
Awesome. For me, it was Chuck's ball.
The devil.
The devil costume was.
Just I considered that
sick.
Yeah.
It was just so cool. Like the mask was dope. The red, I was like, man, I want to rock that suit.
Yeah,
like,
that was a nice suit.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to some plugs. Not much going. I haven't seen much lately. I guess the only new thing I've watched was the Rebel Moon. It was okay, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't gone into that yet.
It's R-rated Star Wars.
It's
very well advertised.
I'm going to watch it. I'm interested in watching it, but I've gotten kind of that review all along.
My point of view is, if I had gone to a theater and spent like $30, I would have been upset. But seeing it's on Netflix and I just watched it at home, I was entertained.
Yeah, that I get that.
Anything for you? Anything to plug?
I will be at the McGillen's open mic on February 8th in Center City. So if you want to come out, I'll be playing some ukulele and playing some songs. You can also follow us on follow me on at steve.marchand on Instagram and Threads, and Steve the Weed Wizard on TikTok. And you can also find my music on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, YouTube, and most other streaming services. iHeart, we are on the iHeart platform.
Yes.
Both we are, and
yes.
And I am. For my music.
And you can follow our socials, Instagram and TikTok. We are at Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, and on Twitter, or I guess it's X now. I don't like calling it that because it's stupid.
Yeah, and they're more and more like gradually, like now in TikTok, it no longer shows, like within the last week, it no longer shows the Twitter symbol. It's now the X symbol.
Yeah, so you can find us there on that site, NJB Pod. You can also send us some emails at nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. Send us some emails. We'll try and answer them on the show.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you and love to hear anything that you have to share with us.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. You can find us, like I said, on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, iHeart. So give us a listen. Give us multiple listens. You listen.
All right. Yep, definitely. Leave a review.
Yeah, like us, follow us, subscribe to us if that's how that platform works. Do all of that stuff.
All right. So next time we will be breaking down Season 1, Episode 7 of Vitor Vitrola.
Yes, looking forward to that.
So until next time, I know you love us. XOXO. We'll be right back.